So I want to know is, why do you believe in God?
That's a really tough question, but I think the reason why I believe in God is because it just gives us that faith. You know, we're not only here just to live and die.
I believe in God because I've experienced God. In times when there was trouble, I had a sense of assurance knowing that God was there with me the whole time.
There has to be a great creator for all this that we see. It just didn't just happen because it just coincidentally the world wanted to make itself, or things didn't just happen just because. There has to be a reason behind everything.
It's not always easy to explain, but what you believe matters. It affects how you love, work, live, marry, parent, and worship. And what you believe about God changes everything.
You see, if we say that there's no God, then we can do whatever we want to do. But the moment we say that there is God means you and I will be held accountable by that very God.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. There's evidence of God everywhere, but how do you go about proving it? This week, Charles Tapp accepts the challenge as he begins a powerful series of messages with the hope of giving you a better understanding of what you believe about God, the Bible, Jesus, Christianity, and more. With part one of his message, Why I Believe in God.
When I was a child, I always would ask very thought-provoking questions, and for whatever reason, most times I would ask them of my father at some of the most inopportune times. I'll never forget, he was in the restroom shaving one morning, and I walked in and I said, Dad, where do babies come from? He said, well, babies come from God. And then he went on to explain that God drops the babies out of heaven and storks catch them and bring them to earth. I paused for a moment. You know, I was a child. But you know what my next question was, don't you? Well, if babies come from God, where does God come from? Now, I was about 8 years of age at that time when I asked my father that question. And it's been decades since, and I have still not received the answer. But what is even more interesting, I'm an adult now, and I've been in ministry for over 30 years, and I'm still asking those same kinds of questions, especially as it relates to the origin and the nature of God. But here's the thing, I'm not alone. For there are many today, even many Christians, even many believers, that are still asking those kinds of questions. Where did God come from? For some, they don't know. For others, they are still asking. And if you ask them that question, where does God come from? I'm talking about individuals who say they believe in God. For the most part, they can't really fully articulate why they believe what they say they believe. Today, we begin a five-part series we've been talking about quite some time that I've simply titled, Why I. And we're going to be looking at questions and issues like, why I believe in the Bible, why I believe in Jesus Christ, why I believe in Christianity, why I believe in Adventism. But today, as we begin this series, I want to pose this thought today, and that is simply this: why I believe in God. Why I believe in God. I read some very startling statistics just this past week where it says over 83% of Americans believe in God. Now, it's not saying that they practice a certain religion or that they attend church regularly, but it simply states that 83% of Americans have a belief in God. But today, I'm not really concerned as to how many or what percentage of us believe in God. Here's the question that all of us need to come to grips with today, and that is this: why do we believe in God? Do you believe in God? But do you know why you believe in God? I believe many of us today who say we believe in God, we believe in God because this belief was somehow passed down to us from our parents. And you know where they got it from, don't you? They got it from their parents. And that's fine. That's all right. But there comes a time in each believer's life where we need to reach the point that we can give an answer for the truths that we hold in our hearts. Is that all right? Isn't it what Peter said? Listen, one day all of us are going to have to give an answer for the hope that is within us. And I love what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:11. He says, listen, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, Paul says, what? I put aside those childish ways. In other words, it's time for us to grow up when it comes to what we believe and knowing why we believe it. When we were children, it was good to say, well, I believe in God because my parents believe in God. But we're adults now, and we need to put aside those childish ways. I remember telling you several years ago about a raincoat that I had when I was in grade school. It was my favorite raincoat because it was the Batman raincoat. Was I the only one who had a Batman raincoat? Anybody else have one? Are you kidding me? I should have kept that. It'd be worth millions. I love this Batman raincoat. And we would bring this raincoat to school even when it did not rain. And we would run around the schoolyard playing like we were Batman. And my friends got Batman raincoats too. And we would run around the schoolyard even humming the song. Batman. Okay. Why? Because that's what kids do. Amen? But if you were to see me running around WAU, 57 years of age, with a Batman raincoat, you would call the psych ward at the hospital across the street, wouldn't you? Because you wouldn't expect a grown man to be doing that. Paul says, listen, there's a time for us to act like children when we're children, but when we mature, when we grow up, we need to begin to think like adults. We need to be able to give answers for the things we say we believe and why we believe them. Today, I want to let you know I believe in God. But I'm not here to attempt today to prove to you the existence of God. I just want to share with you why I believe that God exists. And I'm not going to start with the Bible. I could, but I'm not going to. And let me tell you why. And I believe in the Bible, amen? But I'm not going to start with the Bible because if you don't believe in the Bible, if you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, me telling you the Bible says God exists means absolutely nothing. And many times we as Christians are accused of circular reasoning. You know what that means? It is what it is because I say it is what it is. And I believe the Bible is true, but I believe that God has given us much more evidence than just the Word of God to understand that He truly is and that He truly does exist. I want to begin with a favorite quotation of mine by the preacher and theologian Gilbert Bilezikian. This is from his classic book, Christianity 101. Look at what he says here. He says, I know I did not create myself. As a matter of fact, he says, no human being could have created himself or herself. Only what? A higher power could have brought about human life on this planet. He goes on to say, just as I did not create myself, I cannot create what? the explanation for my own life. But then he ends by saying, but the higher being who has created us can provide the explanation for our own lives. Now, there are three important points that I want to bring from this quote by Gilbert Bilezikian. The first is this, that we are created beings. The mere fact that you and I exist means someone or something had to create us. Number two, that because you and I are created beings, that means then there has to be a creator. And because the creator is always greater than the creation, the creator determines the purpose for the creation and not the creature itself. So what he's saying here is, listen, the mere fact that I exist means I was created. And it had to be a higher power that had to create me, because I could not do this of myself, which means also I can't even come up with the explanation for my own life. In other words, the point that he is making is that there is enough evidence for the existence of God all around us if we would simply open our eyes. But here's the thing, there is a difference between evidence and proof. Evidence is what points to a fact. Proof is an established fact. You see, evidence points to something. A proof demonstrates the established fact. Let me show you what I mean. How many of you know, and this is a true test question here, how many of you know that I love Reese's Peanut Butter Cups? This is about every hand is going up. The rest of you, you must be visitors. Especially, Elder, when you put the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup in the refrigerator overnight. There is nothing better than that. Someone brought me about 100 or so Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. And they're all gone. Listen, if you were to see a trail of wrapping paper from Reese's Peanut Butter Cups in the church, you would begin to surmise, I wonder if Pastor Tapp has been here. Because the evidence points to the fact that he probably was here. But if you find me sitting there at the end of the trail eating Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, you don't need any more evidence. You've got the established fact. You've got what? The proof. So I'm not here to try to prove to you that God exists. I'm here to give you evidence to point you in the right direction to show you that God exists. Amen? And based on the preponderance of evidence that exists in our world, philosophers, theologians, Immanuel Kant and Thomas Aquinas and all the rest have come up with this, what they call arguments of reasoning, where man has the ability to look at his surroundings and begin to reason based on the evidence that God does exist. And they've come up with several arguments for the existence of God. There's what is called the teleological argument, which simply means it is an argument of design. Based on how the world and universe is designed, and it is in such a correct order, presupposes that someone had to place it in that particular order. Amen? The other argument that they give is the argument of morality. The mere fact that man has the ability to know right from wrong says that a creator had to place that in them. You don't have to read the Bible to know right from wrong. And my favorite argument, and there are many others, but my favorite is Thomas Aquinas' argument, a philosopher of the 13th century. He calls it the argument of cause. And this is how he reasons the existence of God with his argument of cause. He says that God is the cause of the uncaused cause. Amen? Are you with me? Do I need to say it again? I'll say it slower. Thomas Aquinas says that God is the cause of the uncaused cause. In other words, everything that exists had to be caused. And that cause, he says, is God. But although God exists, nothing caused God. He is uncaused. It is the cause of the uncaused cause. So Aquinas says the mere fact that the world exists, it had to be caused. And he says that cause has to be God. And even though God exists because he is God, he cannot be caused, because if God was caused, he would cease to be God. For whatever caused God would then be God. Listen, the evidence that we have in our world should serve as an introduction. It should serve as a preamble to going to the Word of God, where we see all throughout the Bible that it simply states, it doesn't try to prove God's existence, it simply states that God is. In the beginning, God.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp, and part one of Why I Believe in God. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
I'm going to take a moment and just recommend that you breathe. Now, there are all kinds of breathing techniques that you can use. One is count to 10, you know, breathing in, count to 10, breathing out, kind of hold it in the middle, you know, breathing in His grace and breathing out His praise. Whatever you choose, breath is really important. And this time of year, you know, you may have a cold or you may have the flu and it's restricting your breathing. So you know just how important that is. God has given you that breath. In Acts, Paul wrote this: "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else." And so take a moment and take a deep breath and stay encouraged.
To get more encouraging content, go to WGTS919.com.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and if you've ever been asked why you believe in God, you know how hard it can be to articulate. This week, Charles Tapp is sharing the first part in his series, Why I Believe in, as he explains why he believes in God.
But see, just believing in God is not enough. That's natural theology. Looking at the world around you, thinking that God caused that, that's not enough. For deists believe in God, but deists believe that God created the world but then stepped away from the world and has no more interaction with the world, so prayer in the Bible is useless. Even Thomas Jefferson, our third president of the United States, was a deist. And this, as history says, he went through his Bible and ripped out every page that had a miracle on it. Because although he believed in God, he did not believe that God had interaction with man. So just possessing natural theology, understanding that God exists simply because of what we see around us, is not enough. That is why the Word of God is of such importance to us. Look at what Psalm says in Psalms 14 and verse 1. Look at what the Word of God says. The fool, what? Has said in his what? Heart, there is no God. In other words, the psalmist is saying that the fool has rejected the reasoning that anything that exists must be caused outside of itself. The fool is rejecting the idea that order and design presupposes that someone had to place it in that order and give it that design. The fool is refusing to accept the Bible as the true Word of God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But here's what we must understand. That word fool, and there are many meanings for the word fool in the Hebrew, But the meaning of this particular verse is not talking about someone that is stupid, someone that is unintelligent, but rather it is talking about someone who desires to live a sinful life. Please stay with me this morning. Not the unwise, but the one who wants to live a sinful life. So the reason the fool says there is no God is not because he or she is unintelligent, but because he or she wants to escape the condemnation of their own conscience. You see, if we say that there's no God, then we can do whatever we want to do. But the moment we say that there is God means you and I will be held accountable by that very God. In other words, it's like the Russian philosopher Dostoevsky says, if God does not exist, then everything is permissible. And friends, that's the main reason why people today ignore all the natural evidence in our universe that there is a cause, and that cause is God. Because once they say that God exists, automatically they realize they must be held accountable to that God, because the Creator determines the purpose for his or her creation. It's not that they're stupid. Atheists aren't stupid. Some of the most intelligent individuals you ever want to meet are atheists who refuse to believe in God. But it's not because they really don't believe in God. They don't want to be held subject to God. So they would rather ignore the fact and ignore all the trails of evidence and say, well, this order of the universe just happened all on its own. And they do that simply because they want to live their lives the way they want to live them. Look at what Paul says in Romans 1. Look at how he puts it as it relates to those who want to ignore the fact that God exists. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in what? Unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God, listen to this, is manifest in them, for God has what? Shown it to them. Oh, it's going to get better. Stay with me. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are what? Clearly seen, being understood by the things that are what? Made, talking about the creation. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse. Paul is saying there's a preponderance of evidence that God exists. So man, God's own creation, has no excuse. Look at verse 21. Because although they knew God, what? They didn't glorify him as God. Why? Because they didn't want to be held accountable for God, by God. Nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their futile hearts were what? They were darkened. Listen. Some of the most intelligent people, geniuses of the world, will ignore the fact that God exists simply because they don't want to be held accountable by that God. Because the moment you and I say, I believe in God, we believe in God. In essence, we're saying that the Creator now has the right to determine the purpose for my life, and I can no longer live my life the way I want to. If I do, it means I'm going against my very Creator. And friends, ultimately, our belief in God would be determined by our willingness to allow him to remove the blinders from our eyes, so that one day we can be brought into his marvelous light. There is a film I recommend everyone in this church view. I show it to my class when we deal with the doctrine of God every year. You can get it on Netflix, you can get it on Amazon, wherever you want to get it. The film is titled, and all the information is on your sermon review on the second page. It's called God's Not Dead. How many of you have seen that? A few of you have. Raise your hands again. How many of you have not seen it? You need to see it. You got any young people who are doubting God's existence? Get that film, God's Not Dead. It's the story of a young college student who registers for a philosophy class. You've seen it. Were you in my class then? And on the first day of class, the professor has each of them take out a sheet of paper and he tells them to write, God is dead. And they all begin to write, God is dead, and sign their names, except for one young man who raised his hand and he said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. His professor said, why? He says, because God is not dead. Professor told him, if you don't write God is dead on your paper, you will receive an F, not just for this assignment, but for the entire semester. He says, I'm sorry, I can't say that. Look around you. God is not dead. Now, I don't want to give the plot away, but you got to see this. So he said, I will debate you in front of the class. And at the end of our presentations, we'll let the students decide whether God is dead or not. And I'll leave it right there. Get it on Netflix tonight. This young man decided in his heart, based on the preponderance of evidence, that God is not dead, and he could not tell a lie, even for a grade. How many of us can say in our heart of hearts, God is not dead? And more than that, I know why I believe. Not simply because the Bible says it, but because one day God not only opened my eyes, he also opened my heart. So I have the natural evidence that he exists. But I also have the spiritual evidence that he exists because he speaks to my heart each and every day of my life. As I said, I'm not here to prove to you God exists. I'm just here to tell you why I believe God exists. But before this series is over, I want you to be able to answer why you believe in God. Why do you believe in the Bible? Why do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Why do you believe in Christianity? Do you know? If you don't, I pray before this series is over that, as Peter said, each of us, by God's grace, will be able to give an answer for the hope that is within us. Amen.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and part one of Why I Believe in God. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
It's not just a book of fables. It's not just a book of good advice. It is the divine revealed will of God through the lives of his people. And I'm so happy I am one of them today. What do you say?
There's probably no other book in history that's created as much controversy, intrigue, and debate as the Bible. Next week, Charles Tapp continues with the second part in his series, Why I Believe In, as he tackles why he believes in the Bible. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.
When you need prayer, the WGTS 91.9 prayer community is here for you.
You're just seconds away from requesting prayer.
Or praying for fellow listeners.
And this isn't your average app.
What's special about the WGTS 91.9 prayer community is that when someone prays for you,
you might never meet face to face, but for a few minutes, you are connected to the power of prayer.
Simply download the WGTS 91.9 app and click on When We Pray.
Request prayer.
Pray for others. The WGTS 91.9 prayer community is waiting for you.